Be ye, therefore, followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. In this penitential time, I'd like to bring ourselves to look at one of the great confession prayers that we have in the Book of Common Prayer. The prayer book is our promulgation of faith and practice in the Anglican way, and it is our school of prayer to form us as Christians. It shows us how to pray. And so this example of a penitential prayer is very important to us, and I'm sure very familiar to some. But let's look at it together in the Office for Morning Prayer at page 6. In the middle of the page, we see these words unfold our Christian witness as we appeal to Almighty and Most Merciful Father. So it opens out with a declaration of who we know God to be. He is both the Almighty God and also the most merciful Father. And we confess that we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. Here we see the biblical witness of our Lord's parable of the Good Shepherd woven into the penitential prayer. The Good Shepherd who goes seeking for that sheep that has nibbled its way out of the pasture and is stuck in the brambles. And we confess that we are like that sheep who has been lost. We have strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. A very perceptive prayer, and one that shows how we are cognizant as Christians about the deceitfulness of our own heart and how following our own selfish desires can bring us into a place where we offend against God's holy laws. So we have offended against thy holy laws, and the holy laws of God are all love of him with heart, soul, mind, and strength, love of neighbor, and love of ourselves. We see that if we do those things that are sinful, we go against those things which are love. So we confess that. We also say we have left undone those things which we ought to have done. Those are sins of omission, where we recognize that we haven't loved as we should, or we haven't recognized that we can never love enough. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. So those sins of commission, where we recognize by the power of the Holy Spirit, those ways that we have gone against God's will. And there is no health in us. We see these things have made us sick in our soul, and they can't have an outward effect in the sickness of our bodies. They make us sick in our entire being. And recognize, too, the beautiful language that we have in the prayer book. And this shouldn't be disregarded. One of the advantages we have are prayers that were composed at a time when there was a great delight in language and also an eye to the ear of how these things sounded and how they felt on the tongue. And so these words aren't flattened out like we find in a lot of modern prayer books. We still have this beautiful language that we have left undone those things which we ought to have done. We have done those things which we ought not to have done. There's a certain musicality to this prayer which assists us in our prayer. And there is no health in us, but thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. That may be a hard term to hear for the modern ear, to be called a miserable offender, to call oneself a miserable offender. I've even heard that in some churches they'll not have a time of confession because they don't want people to feel bad. Which doesn't make sense to me, because when a person has gone against God, it makes them miserable. If they're an offender against the ways of love, they're in misery, and they're miserable. So it's truth-telling to hear it this way. And besides, we're not one big guilt trip. If anything, we're one big forgiveness trip as Christians. And the way we receive forgiveness is to cry out to God, to spare thou those who confess their faults, and restore thou those who are penitent. So repentance has that threefold character. Repentance has confession, where a person is bold in truth-telling and confesses their sins. They do it with contrition, which is heartfelt sorrow, as they have gone against God, who is their creator and redeemer and sustainer. And then they also have purpose of amendment, that they will not do those things with his grace again. Restore thou those who are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. So we see again that purpose of amendment, the deep theological understanding of confession, contrition, purpose of amendment, deeply woven into this repentance prayer. A very helpful prayer for us, and one that instructs our heart in the way to come before God with a prayer of confession. Now, I mention this prayer today because we see in it a deep understanding of who God is, and this is helpful to us if we are to follow that admonition that we hear in the Epistle of Paul, that we should follow God as our Father, as dear children follow their father. We should follow him, and also that we should follow the example of Christ. So we really should know and see how God is if we're going to follow him. And in one particular, we might reflect this morning on how, as we cry out to God for forgiveness and mercy, that as our Father in heaven is merciful, so are we to be merciful. In fact, it's one of the commands of Christ: be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. God has shown us a great mercy. Now I get to show a great mercy. We see the great mercy of God the Father in his willingness to give his only Son for a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so he gives the only begotten to the ministry of reconciliation. And then we see the love of God and the deep mercy of God, indeed a God whose property is always to have mercy, by the deep loving kindness of the Son of God, who gives himself as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. So we have no doubt about the mercy of God because of the embodiment of God's mercy in Jesus Christ, who becomes the means by which, and his sacrificial offering, his whole ministry becomes the means by which we are reconciled to the Father. So that great mercy is poured out upon us, and we are now called to that same kind of mercy, to imitate that same kind of mercy. We know that God loved us while we were yet sinners. And so God poured out his love to us through Christ while we were most unlovable. And that is an important lesson to us because we are called to the same kind of mercy. Christ has enjoined upon us the commandment to love others. Not that we have to like others. There's no commandment there that we have to like them. But we have to love them, which means that we are commanded to love even those who are unlikable, and indeed who are unlovable by their actions. Very easy to slip into a place where we show love for those who are kind and friendly to us, and it's love the ones who love us back. But the circle of our love is to go much greater than that, not just to love those that are easy to love, but to love those that are impossible to love. And the range of the command goes to all. There is nobody that is excluded from the range of that commandment, that we are to love others. So even though a person may be an evildoer and abhorrent and abominable, yet we are to love them and extend to them and do those things for them that are the best according to God's ways. We see the example of that lived out in our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we are to imitate. We see the love that he has for a human race that has denied God, for a human race that will deny him, for he came unto his own, and his own received him not. We see one who was sorely despised, who was rejected. We see one who was mocked, spitefully treated, and crucified, who still pours out his love for even those who are crucifying him. We see the loving kindness of God poured out through Christ to the woman who is caught in the very act of adultery. One so easily condemned, he says that he does not condemn her. And he says to her, go and sin no more. To the one who is washing his feet with her tears, he says that she is the one who is absolved and washed. To the penitent thief, one who is crucified in just judgment, who asks that the Lord may have mercy and remember him when he comes into his kingdom. He says, "Verily, thou shalt be with me this day in paradise." And to you and me, who deserve the wrath of God, he has poured out his mercy upon us that we might come through the mercy of God into everlasting life. God has poured out his mercy upon us, and now we are to show mercy upon others. And we see that in the life of the church. We see that saints hear the biblical command, the command of Christ, to love others. As I have loved you, so love one another. And we see that carried out in the life of Christ, and we see it carried out in the life of the saints. Think of St. Stephen, first martyr, who emulates Christ in pardoning those who are stoning him to death. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. We see the saints empowered through history to bring love and peace and reconciliation even to those who are opposing them, who are despising them, who are persecuting them. They hold out mercy and love. We heard in the story and song about the great example of St. Patrick, whom we recognized and venerated on his feast day, the 17th of March. And St. Patrick, who was stolen from his family in Britain by the slaving and trading of the Irish, and brought to the highest circle of society down to the lowest, brutalized as a slave, kept against his will for 6 years, was able to make his escape, but took 2 years then to be rejoined to his family, where he was at peace, and then heard the call, where in a dream he heard a man speaking in the Irish tongue, who had letters from a multitude of the Irish who were calling him to come back, the slave boy to come back to share with them the gospel. And he answered that call, left his family again, went into Gaul to be trained as a priest, then consecrated as bishop, went back as an apostle to the Irish. There were Christians already there from long ago, but he reignited the Christian gospel in Ireland, brought many to conversion, was a tireless apostle and evangelist and church planter in Ireland. One who came back to those very same people who had persecuted him, who had brutalized him, had made him their slave, he came to set them free with the gospel. This is a heart of mercy that we find in the lives of the saints. And we are to have that same heart, imitating our Lord Jesus Christ and following in, as dear children, the love of our Heavenly Father. And so in this time, let us be encouraged by the lives of the saints. Let us be invigorated by the life of Jesus who indwells us. And let us freely forgive those who have offended us, that they might experience the mercy of God from our own hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.